why would I put my own shyness or being uncomfortable, being super outward with people in front of the ability to relate, in front of the power of like getting to know somebody and being with them and being present with them and serving them through a relationship, which also serves you. And it was actually a really, really powerful book. The biggest takeaways were about being genuinely interested, remembering the important things that were important to other people, showing them and demonstrating in small ways that you care and that you're paying attention. It's all part of just being a good human, but put into almost this like system of how to do it the right way.
Welcome to the More Clients, Less Effort podcast, where we provide expert insights and strategies to turbocharge your business growth. I'm your host, Tim Hyde. And in this series, we'll unpack the secrets, proven systems, and the sales and marketing strategies used by successful business owners to attract, convert, and keep A-class clients on autopilot. Whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur looking to scale your customer acquisition or a budding startup owner looking to crack the code on attracting the right clients, you've come to the right place. Join us on this journey to building a thriving business that leaves a lasting impact. Now let's get started. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of More Clients, Less Effort. I'm super thrilled today to be joined by my good friend, Heather Pierce Campbell. Now, Heather's a warrior mama, nature lover, and dedicated attorney and legal coach for world-changing entrepreneurs. Based in Seattle, she's a mum to two little wild munchkins and the founder of Pierce Law PLLC, home to her legal practice. She's also the creator of the legal website Warrior, an online business that provides legal education and support and to information entrepreneurs, such as coaches, consultants, online educators, speakers, and authors around the US and around the world. She hoards information, paper, and books while secretly dreaming of becoming a minimalist and relishes the occasional rare night out with her hubby while the kiddos are miraculously asleep so that she can soak up HGTV without guilt. I'm a fellow HGTV fan as well, Heather, secretly. Heather's also the awesome host of the Guts, Grits, and Great Business podcast, which you should absolutely go and check out. And you can find her online at the legal website, warrior.com. Heather, I'm absolutely thrilled that we've finally been able to get on a call together.
Right. It took us a little bit. I think between stuff last year, my travel schedule, your travel schedule, pre-holiday illness at our house, which knocked a whole month off my calendar. Here we are. Took us a bit, but I'm so happy to see you.
So pre-holiday illness. I actually ended up with post-holiday illness. I came back. Last year with COVID. That was awesome for the second time.
That's a rough way to start the new year. Yeah, we did it the whole month of December right up to Christmas. So, we actually spent our Christmas break just doing nothing and recovering, watching holiday movies. So that part was fun. But yeah, being sick going into the holidays, not so fun.
Okay. We were talking about this super quick off air. You're sick for a month. You go on holidays.
Yeah.
But so many people, I think, lose sight of the fact that business is there to support your lifestyle and the things you want to do, like lay on the couch and watch HGTV or travel around Europe or wherever you happen to be. Mm-hmm. How have you managed to do that in your business and structure it in a way that allows you to do that, right? Allows you to collect paper when you don't really want to and allows you to spend time with the kids. What totally. Have you done that's a little bit of a secret that you could share?
Yeah, so for me, I'm a little bit of a conundrum, I think, in the legal field. I've never fit squarely within the traditional legal field, meaning that even when I started my law career, I've always been a fairly creative person within the law, but also I'm a systems thinker. And so when I was building my legal practice, I launched my practice right out of school, which, by the way, was unheard of at the time. This was 2002, post 9/11. It was just a pretty crazy time in the world to be starting a legal career. And when I say crazy time, it was the worst time in 30 years to be graduating law school. But here's what I knew. I knew work comes from people. And so even in the worst economy ever, I put myself on a schedule of outreach that I tracked in an Excel spreadsheet. And I knew if I get in front of people on a consistent basis, face to face, so this was old school, like scheduling coffee, driving downtown, meeting with somebody kind of schedule, that I would get work. I'd get referrals. If I showed a genuine interest in people and connected with them authentically, which was my way, that I would get work. And sure enough, within a couple months, You know, I had more work than I knew what to do with. And that's always been my approach. Even when I transitioned to an online business, right? Because that was my quote unquote traditional law practice. And I have since started a second business. It's the same old traditional business building principles.
What was it about that? Did you learn that from somebody else? Or did you just think, I'm going to try this when everyone else does something different?
No. So everybody else that I knew that had graduated law school, do you know what they were doing? They were sitting back and mailing out resumes and applying online to jobs that they found. And I knew I didn't want to be sitting in an office that I disliked drafting cell phone tower leases. Like I wanted to be doing work that I cared about. And so I really, from the very beginning, and this was in part because I lost my mom during law school. She got sick within a few months of my starting law school and then passed away within the year. And that was a hard start. It really put life in perspective, and law school became kind of this very small part of life, right? Even though it took a considerable amount of time to get through. And what it did for me is it really gave me the impetus to decide that I cared about controlling my work from the beginning. Right. And so when everybody else was doing, and I was sitting back going like, why would you just stay hidden behind a computer, mailing out resumes, trying to reach people basically indirectly when you could be getting face to face with them and having a connecting conversation where they learn your face, they know about you, they begin to care about you, which we do as humans, right? Took us one conversation and then I considered you a friend, but we're face to face in Zoom, right? This is the power of connecting with people in a visual and authentic way. And I just always believed that didn't really matter the amount of work that I needed or even the amount of time that it took to do this connecting, that if that was my single quote unquote marketing or outreach strategy, that it would work. And it did. And it has never failed me since then.
Mm. Do you think your mother passing, you know, during law school has really changed your focus in how you run your practice? Because that's a pretty momentous thing, you know, in a very difficult, stressful time of your life.
Totally. Yeah, totally. And, you know, and I was young. I was early 20s. I was the second oldest of six kids. So it not only dramatically impacted my life, it changed all of my siblings' lives. I had siblings still in junior high and high school. And yeah, and for me, I realized like it needed to be a career that supported my goals in life, my role as a mom. I knew I'd become a mom someday. I didn't know when or, you know, even how or what that would look like. I never really had any preconceived notions around that, except I really believed at some point I'd become a mom. And I knew like my legal work and legal career needs to support my life and my role as a parent. And that's in part why I actually created the Legal Website Warrior. Is I just had envisioned being able to create a better model of business that was based on systems, on efficiency, on making legal support more accessible to small businesses who were hugely underserved by our traditional legal market. And then also to build it in a way that supported me as a mom, as a business owner, because I built it using systems, because I built it utilizing efficiencies, right? And I've loved it. It's been a great fit for me.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things we lose sight of, right? You know, that systems aren't just there for shits and giggles, are they? Right? And I love that you actually, you know, ran an Excel spreadsheet of just your networking activities. Who do I meet? When do I meet them?
This is it. And you know, what's funny about that is I actually went to law school with the guy who built Excel for Microsoft. And the funny thing is he quit like two or three times and they kept hiring him back. He's this brilliant guy. And we were also envious of him because he was the one, you know, kid, he was an adult by that point, right? In law school, who he already had so much money, he could buy two sets of law books. So he kept one at school in his locker, you know, and then one set at home. He never had to do this like massive backpack with 400 pounds of books. And he was smart enough that didn't matter if he highlighted the set at home or whatever. Like for the rest of us, all that stuff mattered, right? We didn't have the money to buy two sets of books, and we probably didn't have the brain power to highlight different sets of books and be able to remember it. So anyways, but it was funny because it was a great tool. And even then I could track Because I didn't know anybody. When I came to law school, and even when I moved to Seattle, I didn't have any built-in networks. I didn't have any connections to the legal field, not one. Everything I had to build from the ground up. And I was so clear that I needed to obviously learn information, but I also needed to collect people. People who would support me, who would mentor me, who'd become part of my network, who'd become part of my quote unquote database. And I got on a system of like emailing everybody within my spreadsheet. I told myself at least once a month, they need to remember me. They need to get updates from me. They need to hear what I'm doing and be able to think of me if an opportunity comes up. And so that was my very early version of my own CRM, was Excel.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, the thing, CRM technically stands for customer relationship management.
Right.
I like to challenge people and get people thinking of it as a contact relationship management.
Yes, exactly. Which is how I thought of it.
And I'm with you. Networking has been a massive part of my career as well. Mostly because I just love hanging out with people.
Right? Me too.
Extrovert like that. And I can spend hours and hours and hours by myself, but I'm very much an extrovert in terms of, you know, relating to other people. And, you know, just being able to record where things are up to with somebody is so important, right? Because if you make them feel like that they are important to you, right, you will become important to them.
Yes, it goes. And my entire approach, that we'll just call it that season of my life in building that initial practice, was based around principles that I read in How to Win Friends and Influence People, which I read as a 12 or 13 year old.
And it's a book to read as a 12 or 13 year old.
It was. And I have my dad to thank for that. I was a shy kid who, looking back, I was like, gosh, why was I so shy? I think part of it was that age in life and transitioning from junior high to high school. And I don't know, it just, my dad spotted something where he thought, you know, she'd benefit from this book. He gave it to me and I read it and I really took it to heart. My takeaway from that was like, why would I put my own, well, we'll just call it shyness or, you know, being uncomfortable, being super outward with people in front of the ability to relate, in front of the power of like getting to know somebody and, you know, being with them and being present with them and serving them through a relationship, right? Which also serves you. And so it was actually a really, really powerful book for me. And the biggest takeaways were about being genuinely interested, remembering the important things that were important to other people, right? Showing them and demonstrating in small ways that you care and that you're paying attention. It's all part of just being a good human, but put into almost this like system of how to do it the right way, yeah. Right? So for every appointment that I had, I'd spend, you know, sometimes up to a half hour, an hour, depending on who they were, how I'd come to know about their name, like researching them, their recent cases, had they ever made it into the newspaper? What was their practice area about, you know, so that I could be thoughtful in a 1 hour lunch meeting or even a half hour coffee date with them where they're like, Heather genuinely cares about what I'm up to or showed interest in my practice area or whatever it was, right? And that is the way that people want to reciprocate. And I remember just being astounded at how much generosity I received from the legal field, from attorneys in general, when
our
reputation, right? You think of what the jokes that get told or things that people say about attorneys. And of course, in every industry like that, there are few people that I think can give the industry a bad name, but you have a lot of genuine humans working really hard to support other humans. And I just remember regularly feeling astounded at how much generosity I received and from people that didn't know me, but were very, very willing to give me advice and their time and support and often pay for my lunches or my coffee.
you're like, as a student, you're like, yeah.
Yes, I know, exactly.
I think it's not all Harvey Specter and Saul Goodman, right? But just, I think you're right. You know, so much of any success is how well you connect on a human level with people, even in context of digital marketing. You know, I think there's, you know, we can run Google ads and Facebook and do email campaigns and whatnot, but ultimately humans buy from humans. I've recently joined a BNI group, right? Because I'm still networking and have been doing it for 20 odd years since, you know, so I got into business as an adult, probably even longer than that. It's probably 25 years now. And, you know, creating connectivity and I guess tangibility in the relationship wherever possible is so important in any facet of business, right? Mm-hmm. B and I have this rule called VCP, right? Visibility, credibility equals profit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's missing one incredibly important part that we need to put in, not just our face-to-face aspects of our business, but our digital components as well, right? And that's likability. We buy from people and companies that we like.
100%. I remember somebody that I intersected with sometime in the last handful of years describe it as the energy that you put into something or into your work or into your connection. And the difference between somebody who spends some time, for example, researching or preparing for a brief meeting, that's a product of energy, putting your life force energy towards something. And it's the same way that, you know, when you connect with somebody, let's pretend that you're connecting with anybody in the sales world. If you're talking with somebody who you can tell is like ho-hum or flat about what they do or what they're up to, or you're just like, gosh, I just don't really love or have that, like, you are not going to buy from that person, right? Versus somebody who you can see so clearly loves what they do, they're committed to their service, their product, their client, their network. It's a totally different feeling. And it all is a product of the amount of energy that we put into our business, other people, our services, etc. But yes, you're right. That likability is a huge part of that.
Yeah. As you were saying that, Heather, I watched The Internship on Netflix the other day with Vince Vaughn and Owen.
I love Vince Vaughn. Oh my gosh. He's so funny.
Exactly the same thing, right? He's otherwise has no other skills that, you know, he's an incredibly good salesman, but no other skills, but he does it just through human connectivity, right? He just makes people around him feel great and valued and important. And you can't not help like this character as well. You don't know why you're doing it, but you're like,
oh my gosh. And don't you get the sense though, that that's how he is in real life? Like you watch any of his movies and I'm like, you know, this is a guy that they just let ad lib in these movies because he's so funny and so natural at it.
Yeah, absolutely. What's something you've learned, you know, going from, I guess, his traditional legal practice to online? What's been a big discovery for you?
One of the biggest discoveries is that like, the same principles that worked over in my first business work in my second business, right? There was a little bit of a hump when I visualized this secondary business model that I had that was based on more efficiency, systems, making legal support more accessible. I kind of thought like, who am I? I'm not a master of the digital world. Like, I don't really know all the tricks and stuff that it takes to be awesome in the digital space. But turns out the same systems that I used in my Pierce Law practice worked there. And a huge part of it is consistency, is like continuing to show up, is what we talked about from a connection standpoint, being willing to continuously make connections. There are some women that teach on basically, I think they call it like your 100-person power list. Their business is called Eyes Wide Open. And it's basically that like the method that they teach, which is creating this list of people that you need to be in touch with and consistently every day making outreach to a number of people on those lists, whether they're people who could refer business to you, whether they're to your ideal clients, whether they're to people who are kind of one step removed from your ideal client, but could become your client or know people who are your client, right? It is this building of a little machine where it doesn't have to be overly complex. And I think a lot of people make it complex. Like in my business, my goal is pretty minimal. It's like 5 people a day that I reach out to, right? And that, you know, my assistant and I have a system for tracking who are our leads, where do they come from, where are we at in the system of following up with them, right? And just having a system for tracking that stuff where you know you're doing the background work at all times on top of doing the work that it takes to nurture and create these new connections.
Let's break down that system for our listeners right now, because I think this is, again, so important. And just to be top of mind with people so that they remember you at a critical time, right, and vice versa. Other than that, you just actually meet some really cool people in doing so, right?
Oh, totally. And it makes your, I'm just going to say, it makes your life, not only your business life, but your life so much richer. I think of how many individuals I've met, let's even call it in the last, you know, 8 or 10 years, being more in the digital space, that have converted from being, you know, quote unquote business colleagues to like personal friends. You know, like when you treat your connections that genuinely, I just feel like your life, period, but way beyond your business life, just becomes so much richer.
Yeah. I'm sure we could, you know, one day when we get together in Seattle to just like catch up as if we
totally. That's right.
Okay, let's break it down. What are the steps you've got in this system on how you manage, you know, 5 connections a day, 150 a month? How do you do that?
Totally. So between my assistant and I, we keep kind of a master list, right? And these leads can come in a variety of ways. They can come in through LinkedIn. I personally love LinkedIn. I've done a ton of connecting and really made some authentic, amazing connections through LinkedIn. I've gotten a lovely, lovely steady stream of fabulous clients through LinkedIn as well. So just tracking where they come from, right? And in our spreadsheet, again, hello, Excel or Google Sheets, wherever you live, right? Tracking, you know, the name, the source of like where they connected with you from, whether it's email, whether it's through your contact form on your website. You know, I think in our spreadsheet, we've only got like 7 or 8 different sources that are pretty consistent that we track. Maybe your calendar, right? Maybe somebody pops in because they opted into an email, you know, newsletter or something that you have on your website. And then that led them to an introductory call sign up, right? So just tracking where people come from and then what your follow-up plan is. And the follow-up can really vary. Like for me, it can be everything from writing a personal note on a card and popping it in the mail to just a phone call out of the blue to somebody, to an email like, hey, it's been a little while since we've connected. Let's jump on a call and chat. If it's somebody who had a direct inquiry, you know, making sure that we follow up and schedule that call. So the follow-up can vary, obviously, depending on the lead, but having at least 2 sets of eyeballs on that list to make sure that nobody falls through, that we're also moving people over onto that lead list, right? And in my email system, when I get a potential lead, even if, let's pretend it's even like a connection, like I had an interview the other day on somebody else's show, and he's like, you know, I really should do a legal review of my business, you know? And I thought, okay, make a little note of this. Forwarded an email from him to my Trello column that is strictly for tracking leads. And then those names go onto the spreadsheet, right? But because stuff can get lost so easy in email. So it's also about knowing how to collect and retain that data. And again, this gets down to your systems. Maybe you've got a really comprehensive CRM, and let's just call it content relationship manager system that works for you. Maybe it's a system that you've created yourself because you know how your brain works and how you need to track things. Doesn't have to be a complex system. I just literally forward an email to this leads column in my Trello, you know, my Trello board. And that way they don't get lost. And once a week team meeting, we can check in on them and say, did we get all these people over onto this, you know, this other list? Are we following up with them? What do we need to do? So it doesn't have to be hard. It just has to be consistent.
It is a discipline. It's a discipline and a muscle that you need to exercise to get really good at. You probably won't get it right the first time. And I'm sure you didn't in the same I didn't. But I think that's so critical that we just touch base in some capacity and to build relationships. I have this system that I use in my business. It's very similar to yours, Heather, where we look at, you know, who are our strategic partners. Okay. So yes. Yeah, we've got a lead column as well. And sometimes our strategic partners also become clients.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where literally you were meeting 10 strategic partners once a week for 10 minutes. Right. Mm-hmm. And that would be the end goal of cards and the calls and the social media outreach and the occasional give them an endorsement or whatever it might be as well. But ultimately, if you got to a point where, you know, you were meeting for 10 minutes with someone who has your client, has a very similar conversation to you with your client, and you were meeting with 10 of these people a week, just by opening up the calendar, you would probably find 6 introductions every single week. Even if you only found 1 introduction to a potential customer every week, right? That's 10 people. That's 10 new leads a week. That's 500 new leads per year. You would think that given the personal introduction nature of those, you would probably close a few of them.
Mm. That's right. And now, the other thing,
if you need 20,000 customers a year because you're selling Tic Tacs or, you know, Skittles or
Post-it notes. Yeah.
Okay, you probably need to look at a different strategy. But for most people, particularly in professional services, 200, even 50 clients a year would massively transform where your business is at right now.
That's right. And that's the thing is that if you're in the services world like you or I am, it doesn't take a lot to transform that part of your business. I mean, it requires monitoring, right? And paying attention to like, is this working? Should we still be spending time doing this thing or should we try something else? And every once in a while for fun, I shake it up. So for example, like last year, I bought hundreds of books of one of my clients and just shipped them out to everybody that I wanted to share that book with, you know, with a little personal note. And that was really fun seeing like who I heard back from, who referred to me based on that, you know, just little fun things. One of the other other things that is a strategy I talk a lot about. There is a book that was written, I don't know, probably 2007, 8, 9, somewhere in there, called Love is the Killer App. Actually, I think the author might share your name, Tim something. So go look up the book, Love is the Killer App. But in a time when apps were starting to really be developed and people are thinking, oh, there's a magic app for this, right? Which we still do. Oh, there's got to be a magic app for this. He was just saying genuine connection still wins out. Showing up to serve somebody first is going to win out every day and twice on Sunday in your own business. And for me, what that looks like through these connection calls is also being the person that gives first. Like if I were to meet you for the first time and think, oh my gosh, I know these two or three other amazing people that need to know Tim, and then reaching out and quickly making those introductions, you know, I do that all the time. And for even some of my clients who, once I get to know their business, I'm like, oh my gosh, this person is connected to the healthcare world. They need to know my client. And bam, make these introductions. You do that enough, you become top of mind. Like I had a client last year who referred to me two or three new clients simply because I kept him top of mind and made several introductions for him that he appreciated.
Yeah, I love that. Actually, I want to share a story that I've shared a few times now just on that. I was on another networking event again online with a group in the US and was chatting to this guy, Matt Wood. Right, who I'll give a shout out to Matt, who's a referral coach. I think he's down in Atlanta or somewhere. We jumped on a call and we were just chatting. And I happened to notice on Matt's bookshelf behind him, he had 14 copies. I counted them. I literally got out my pencil on the, you know, so like 1, 2, 3, I was like counting these on the Zoom screen, counting these books. And he pulled one off the shelf and said, I said, is that your book, Matt? And he said, no, it's someone else's. Right? It was a book called Never Eat Alone. I've got a copy.
Yes, I have that book.
I was just looking for a copy. It's on my, probably my bookshelf over there somewhere. I couldn't see it. He said, oh, I'll send you a copy. And we actually got into the conversation about referrals and networking and how to build, you know, genuine and authentic connections. He said, I'll send you a copy. I'm expecting one book to show up in the mail about 2 weeks later. I'd forgotten about it, as you do, right, in this conversation. About 2 weeks later, I kind of wasn't really expecting to send it. About 2 weeks later, I got this parcel that would have been the size of your pillow, basically. It was huge. It wasn't just the, you know, the $5 postage from US to Australia or $10 postage. There was $72 USD in stamps. Again, not a trivial sum of money. He sent me 14 books, including a couple of his own book and a whole bunch of others that he liked.
That's amazing.
And I've told that story to, I don't know, literally hundreds, if not thousands of people now. So go and look it up. Okay. Fantastic referral coach in the US, Matt Wood.
Love that. I love that. Well,
you know, it really made a massive first impression or even second impression here, but just reinforced. And I know that, you know, live in the space as a digital marketing strategist and marketing agency that, you know, we just promise sales appointments after sales appointments after sales appointments, right? And what's better than 20 sales appointments a day? Sales appointments a day.
40, right.
Whatever the number happens to be, right? We just make up some number. But what we want is really genuine, authentic connections. I want, and most people want, someone to jump onto a call with you who has a problem, likes you enough to want you to solve it, and they have the money and imperative to do it right now. And then it's about the fit. But I think that, you know, trying to fit your calendar, and I'm a big takeaway from conversation, Heather, is that rather than trying to fit, you know, 20-minute appointments or 15-minute appointments back to back all day long, put 15 minutes each side of that, you know, 20, 30, 40-minute hour appointment. Do just 20 minutes of research, right? Jump on someone's social media and see what they're doing. See what the last post they were talking about was. Reference it. Have a look at their website. Do a little bit of research before. And it doesn't have to be a huge amount, right? And then put 15 or 20 minutes aside afterwards to do one follow-up action, an introduction, send them a book, send them a card to say, hey, it was great to get on a call with you. Whatever, it could be a digital card if you don't necessarily have their physical address. But just do one thing afterwards that reinforces the relationship and then put them into the right system column in your Trello board, your Excel spreadsheet, right, your Google Sheet, your CRM. This is where we're going to next with this relationship that we've just started. Because so many of those literally one inch deep and they never go anywhere.
No, that's right. And it's how often, like just answer this, how often do you have, especially now in the digital age, do you have a physical note from somebody show up in your actual mailbox, right? It doesn't take a lot to become memorable. That's the thing. It's not like a super heavy lift, you know? And so anyways, I just love receiving those kinds of surprises myself. And so maybe that's why it's fun to give them to other people, right? As a little note or an introduction or a referral or whatever, but it's really not a heavy lift. And I think if people can remember that, they can start to watch for ways to be more memorable.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to pivot again. I'm going to throw a bunch of quick questions at you. I love to do these.
Alrighty.
We'll actually pull out a legal one as well. Let's do this. What do you think the biggest legal risks are that online entrepreneurs face?
Oh my gosh. The number one biggest legal risk is not looking at your legal requirements. That's the number one, is a lot of people just thinking it's going to be Pandora's box and I won't look, right? Number two is transacting business online without having any online protections. Like online people, that's who I serve all day long, every day of the year, right? You have to be online. And so many people are selling things. So many people have no privacy policies up, no terms, no protection for their merchant account. I mean, it's a web of interconnected things that you have to protect that are actually not that hard to get in place the right way if you're working with somebody who really understands your business. That's the caveat. But I think people think, oh, it's so big, I'm not even going to try to tackle that. It's actually not that big. It's not that hard.
It probably costs you a lot less than the money you would lose when someone does
inspect you. Massively.
And gets your Stripe account shut down.
Yes.
No, that was a conversation that I've seen you jump into recently. You know, have more than one merchant account.
Oh my gosh. The number of times that has come up recently, I can't even tell you. If you remember the old PayPal days where people were like, don't do PayPal, they just shut you down. Stripe is doing that now. So yeah. Anyways, FYI, multiple
all your business through one channel, and the same as relying on all your business being on your Facebook account and Facebook. Mm-mm. There's no.
No.
Right, you
bad news bears. That's right. Don't do it. First of all, build your own platform, but then have multiple payment gateways that you can use to keep your business alive.
Spread your business around. Absolutely. All right. What star sign are you? And what does that say about your approach to business?
Say that again.
What star sign?
Oh, what star sign am I? Guess.
Lunar New Year question.
Right. I'm going to let you guess.
I have absolutely no idea.
No idea. I'm a Capricorn.
Okay. What does that say about how you approach
it? It's a goat. So steady, right? Like just, it's the steady eddy, like marching up the mountain. So I have a tremendous amount of endurance. I have a tremendous amount of like, you know, let's do it kind of an attitude where it's just like, doesn't matter the size of the mountain, we are marching up that hill.
Yeah, awesome. What's your favorite trip you've ever taken, your most favorite trip?
Oh my gosh, I get goosebumps. This is the problem with me, is I really love travel. Every trip becomes my favorite trip. So whether it's to Banff, Canada, and seeing this amazing wildlife with my kiddos and my hubby, which I just added on to a business trip, by the way, whether it's the UK trip last year that we were just talking about, extraordinary. I got to plan that one. You know, whether it's a trip to San Francisco years ago that we did with my son before having my daughter, like there's so many trips. Here's the thing. I'll tell you my magic sauce around trips. I always incorporate some amount of nature. So it's like this adventure plus beautiful scenery. I'm somebody who just really appreciates natural beauty. They all become magical when you travel in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually, I've just sort of got some new team members in the US as well. And one of them was like, I need to tell you, I'm going on a trip, literally a second week into working together. And I've gone, okay, fine. All right. Because, you know, I love travel as well. Anyway, a week later, she sends me photos of her standing on a 4,500 meter of feet volcano, active volcano in Guatemala, watching the thing explode from the next ridge.
Oh, man.
That's insane.
Right. Yeah. There are different levels of being adventurous for sure.
Absolutely. If you had 10x the budget you have now, what would you spend it on?
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, definitely more team members, right? 10x the budget.
I'd also 10x more martinis.
Yeah. Right. Probably also that. Also, you know, some additional like strategic coaching. I've got a business coach right now that I'm working with. And every time I do that, I'm like, yes. You know, I love it. And so, you know, support from the top, support from the bottom, and then stuff to enjoy along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that perspective is so important, right? We're in the weeds so often as business owners. Having a coach, and I've got a couple of coaches, is so important just to get perspective on what you could or should be doing.
No, it's so huge. And I'll just say my final piece on that is because I think a lot of people, it's easy in life, especially if you've been through a down period. Last year was a big down period for me. I know you and I have talked about health stuff, and I've been in a phase of like trying to heal some personal health stuff. And anyways, I think it's easy to get into a point where like, oh, I can't afford a coach or whatever. Pay for what you can afford, right? Make the room, which is what I've done here at the start of this year. And I'm so glad I did. So just do what it takes to afford even a few months of coaching, even just the next level up of coaching. It's so worth it.
If nothing else, go and listen to some podcasts.
Right? Come find us. Go listen to Tim.
A lot of free coaching and podcasts. Well, actually, one podcast, it was a John Lee Dumas, right? Who's a prolific podcaster with entrepreneurs. Yep. I was listening to one of his, and this one guy, and I can't recall the name of the guest on John's show, you know, apparently had badgered JLD to get on his show for ages. And he imparted this incredible piece of wisdom that stuck with me. He said, right, we go to these conferences and we listen to these podcasts and we talk to our business coach. And generally we come away from those things with a laundry list of to-dos. It's massive. So I'm sure if you're going to, you know, things like Tony Robbins' upcoming online event, right? You're going to have a huge list of stuff that you need to go and do. And he's gone, forget it, all right? Pick one thing and do that and give yourself permission to forget the rest, right? It's just these little micro increments that make all the difference.
Absolutely. Was that Nick Hutchinson by chance?
It might have been. I can't. It's a while ago now.
See, the book thing guy. So I just had Nick. We recorded a session on Friday, but his whole mission through his business, through his current speaking and getting onto people's podcasts is actually what you've just said. The interesting thing is he says, choose one thing that you're going to learn or do even before you attend or before you open the book, because then you start to view everything that you consume through that lens of what is that one takeaway that I'm going to go implement, right? I love it. I'm like, that is, you know, it's such great advice.
What's your favorite productivity hack for entrepreneurs?
Honestly, slow down.
Slow down.
Slow down. Take the space. Take the time. It's something that I'm practicing right now in my life. Is like I got so overwhelmed with the amount of work that I had to do and catch up on, which I'm grateful for. Let's be clear. And it was really hard to carve out that like 1 hour in the morning to like really give that time to myself. And working with my coach again, he's like, look, start your day 1 hour later, like just make it happen so that you can go walk your neighborhood after you drop off kids at school. So you're not trying to cram it in before waking hours if that's just not where your health is at. Because like back to the health thing with thyroid and adrenal fatigue, like it's hard for me to get up early right now. Like my body is still in rest mode. So it's like, okay, get the kids ready, get them off to school, then take the hour. And that feels like such a gift. And such a slowing down. But I mean, it's the best tip that I think all of us need to do and have a hard time doing.
Yeah, I love that. It's something I've tried to do as well. Actually, literally got, you know, used to just sort of work through lunch and work
that's
through.
That's right. Stop doing that. It's such an entrepreneur thing to do. It's such a go mentality. Stop it.
Like this business is a bit like Oliver in, you know, Oliver Twist, right? He's going to come back and ask for more and be completely completely unapologetic about it.
Right. I know we have to enjoy the journey, and that requires slowing down a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Heather, this is absolutely brilliant. I love hanging out with you always. If you want to know more about Heather, you can check her stuff out at the legal website, warrior.com. You've got an amazing boot camp over there, which will get into some free legal basics, right? And stuff that I think pretty much every entrepreneur, whether you're online or offline, needs to be across. And there's some incredible tools in there. We'll put those details in the show notes as well. Heather, any parting insights you'd love to leave us with?
Tim, it's always great to see you. I appreciate you having me on. Yeah, in regards to even that legal basics boot camp, I think if I were to ask you to do one thing, if you're listening and you know you don't have the legal support that you need, that's a free little, I basically give away the map. Go hop in there and just choose one thing. Just one thing that you're going to do in the next quarter for your business. It's really not that hard. And regardless of whether you're US-based or international, it doesn't matter where you are. The concepts are the same. The buckets are the same. It will apply to you and it will help you just understand how to go about starting to incorporate some of those legal supports into your business building journey, hopefully in a way that feels easy and accessible.
Yeah. Heather, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your insights and advice. I know we've been in a very similar journey. many and have a very similar approach to building our businesses. It's great to find a kindred spirit almost on the other side of the world. Exactly.
That's right. Diagonally and I know, both ways. It's good to see you, Tim. Thank you so much.
Guys, thanks again for joining us on another episode of More Clients, Less Effort. We'll catch you on another episode real soon. Thank you for joining us on today's episode of More Clients, Less Effort. Join us next time for another insightful discussion filled with actionable advice and inspiring stories, all geared towards helping you grow and scale your business simply and easily. Remember to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite app so you never miss an episode. See you next time.